have your Bibles this morning, if you would find the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel will be our text today. 1 Samuel is located in the Old Testament. If you would find the 30th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, I'd like to begin our time today reading our text. And I'm going to preach a message today entitled this, Dealing with Dark Days. Dealing with Dark Days. If you would find the very first verse of the 30th chapter, the Bible reads as this, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept till they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Dark days in the life of David. I do believe that if you live any amount of time on this earth, you will find that we will all, at one time or another, face dark days. The word dark has its own definition. The very words dark days are easily defined. We could say hard days. We could say discouraging days. We could say depressive days. You could say gloomy days. You could say hard times. David finds himself here in the middle of his life in some very, very, very dark days. The Bible says in verse number 6, he's greatly distressed. How dark were they, Pastor? If you look at verse number 4, you will see that his heart is so broken that he wept. Man weeps, the Bible says, until they had no more power to weep. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've wept until you've had no more power to weep. We say it this way, I've cried all my tears. Sometimes at the passing of a loved one or at a difficult time, we will cry all of our tears. And we come to a funeral service 3 days, or depending on custom or culture, sometimes 2 weeks. But in the course of leading up to that, we've shed all our tears to where there's literally no tears inside our eyeballs to cry. We know what it is sometimes to weep to the point of exhaustion where we can't even stand up. And we cannot weep anymore. I have had some contacts this week that have smitten my heart with the necessity to preach this message. Everybody goes through dark days. Everybody goes through points in life when we're discouraged. Sometimes humans have the capability to encourage you. Sometimes I can meet you at the back door and I can give a word that's fitly spoken, and that word can be like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Sometimes as your pastor, you walk out of here and bold-faced lie to me and tell me that was a good message, Pastor. I take that lie and I go home and I love it. You encourage me. I'm reminded of Ananias. When Saul, who would later become Paul, he's on the Damascus Road, and here's this great murderer. Here's this guy who absolutely, the Bible said, uses the words, wreak havoc upon the church, said, it sounds like my child. Well, this is what Saul did to the church. And he gets saved and he's blind. He can't see. He's 3 days, he's blind. And he's brought into the home of these people now where he used to kill and slaughter and be maddening toward them. And he's in unknown circumstances and something's happened in his heart and he can't visually see. The last thing he saw was the Lord Jesus. And God sends Ananias to see him. And Ananias walks into that room and the first words out of Ananias's mouth are, "Brother Saul." Sometimes you just need to hear somebody say your name and it's words of encouragement. Sometimes you need to hear somebody say, "Brother, I missed you. Brother, I love you. Brother, I prayed for you today." And we have the capacity to encourage one another, to be a Barnabas. I hope you're an encourager. But I do make it known unto you that that in and of itself will not get you through life. That in and of itself will not be enough to keep you what I've entitled the number one killer in Christianity. As I'm finding it now, it's almost the number one killer in society, and that is depression, and that is discouragement. Brother Jay tells me that a study has been done that did you know that the number one topic that's Googled by teenagers in America is the topic of depression? Your child. Friends that your children go to school with, your teenager, maybe my teenager one day, they wrestle with depression. And so they're Googling it. They're making, they're trying to find information about it. This past week, I know of a lawyer, 46 years old, very successful lawman, very successful law practice, 2 children, was separated from 1 wife, getting ready to be married to another wife, just inherited $2 million from mom and dad, took a firearm, ended his life right there in his own home. My dad calls me this week after just being the pastor of a new church and says, "Let me tell you what just happened." He said, "I just won a man to Christ." I said, "Praise the Lord." He said, "No, let me tell you the circumstance." I said, "Tell me about it." 76-year-old lady married to a 77-year-old man, married 50-some years, walked in her bedroom, took a firearm, ended her life, 76 years of age. Do not tell me that depression and discouragement are not killers. Yes, they are. And church, if you count on me to encourage you, and I count on you to encourage me, and our only encouragement comes from one another, we will have a hard time surviving in this life. Every single person in the sound of my voice had better learn to do what David did. If you would come to verse number, or chapter number 30, and you would find verse number 4, David is in a position of weeping toward the point of exhaustion. You come to verse number 6, and he is greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. These were hurting, angry people. Their families had been destroyed, they thought. They had been taken captive. Their city had been burned. Somewhere they had to place blame, and we know what it's like sometimes for the need to place blame. We know what it is to be in a hard time. That blame fell upon David, and they began to say, "Stone him, stone him." And David is grieved greatly. And in today's society, I'm sure David would have been offered a way out by the enemy. But you come to verse number 6, and you come to the last phrase of that, and the Bible says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now listen to the preacher. You and I and every person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, we had better be able to encourage ourselves in the Lord at times, or we're headed for big trouble. And God's people said, you see, I love you and you love me. And I hurt when you hurt. And I rejoice when you rejoice. There are times when the days are dark and the nights are dreary. And there are times when this devil says, nobody gives a rip about you. And there are times when he says, it's too deep and you will not cross. There are going to be those times in our lives. And we had better be able, as men and women of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we had better be able to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And so we find David here underneath dark days. I want you to know, and we find in our first point to our message today, the reality of discouragement. You find in verse number 4 that David wept. You know, discouragement is not a respecter of persons. Finish this phrase with me if you know your Bible at all. David, a man after God's what? Own heart. When a godly man, a powerful man, a king, a deliverer, a warrior. I mean, a man who had women at his feet, at his very snap of his fingers. People did whatever. He wanted a drink of water. They go and got a drink. The man had it all, but he was not immune to discouragement. And he finds himself in dark days, wept to the point of exhaustion, greatly distressed from people. And we find this man after God's own heart. Please do not think that just because you're a Christian, you're not given to or possible to have discouragement. Please do not think just because you come to church that you will not be discouraged sometimes. Please do not think that once you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is roses. I want you to know there's no roses growing in my yard. Amen. Anybody who teaches you that if you receive Christ, your life will be ease, you ought to know that that person's not from God. They're a liar based on the word of God. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ, I received all the power and peace of heaven. But I want you to know something. My faith has been tried, and I come across dark days, and my life's not all roses, and it's not all easy, and neither is yours. And anybody selling that garbage really need their lights punched out, but you do it in Jesus' name, if you would please. What brings us to discouragement? Sometimes a difficult task can take us to discouragement. Maybe you're here today and you're a single parent. A difficult task. A difficult task. Maybe you're here today and you've been given a difficult job. Sometimes the difficulty of a task can take us to discouragement. Weariness. I'm going to talk about that. Sometimes you find people who are just given to discouragement. The longer I'm in the ministry, I come along across people that are like Timothy. They're just given to discouragement. They're never good enough. They'll never be able to accomplish it. It's always too hard. It's always too difficult. The sun never shines on me. The grass is always greener over here. Everything, it's just too difficult. Some people are just given to discouragement. By the way, you may be given to discouragement in your sinful nature, but when a man is born again by the Lord Jesus Christ, we've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. There's an accomplishment for that. Sometimes the attack of Satan can discourage us. Why don't you ask Job? If you could have talked to Job with his children gone, his life work a mess, his flesh rotting off his bones, you ask him, Job, you having a good day? Kind of discouraged, preacher. Sometimes the attack of Satan brings us there. Sometimes the influence of others. Sometimes other people put us in a position of discouragement. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth what, church? Iron. So a man's countenance is sharpened his friends. By the way, I hope to God that nobody in our church is ever influenced for discouragement by one of our church members. When you come in this building, you ought to know the joy and the love of the Lord Jesus. Amen? Sometimes others influence brings us to discouragement. Pastor, I don't have what they have. Pastor, I'm not gifted like they're gifted. Pastor, my life isn't easy like theirs. Pastor, my days are hard. Their days are not. Sometimes the influence of others. I want to be very tender here, but sometimes abuse. Abuse. Where do you see abuse today, Pastor? God, I see it everywhere. Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Mom and dad, are you discouraging your children? What's the word provoke means? It means to irritate. What's discourage mean? It means to break their spirit, to be without courage, to lose heart, to become spiritless. You say, well, I got to discipline them. Yes, you do, but you make sure the discipline is fit to the crime. Excessive and over severity and injustices that make a child submit to those things. You're not disciplining a child. You're destroying a will. And you're discouraging a child. and mark it down this way, mom and dad. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Somebody will lift them. Somebody will lift them. God help us. Sometimes discouragement comes from disappointed hopes and dreams. I wish you could have talked to Hannah. I don't know if you ever tried to have a child or not. I didn't try to have a child. My wife tried to have a child, but we both tried, if you know what I'm saying. But I remember those days when we were trying to have a child. A couple years. Man, you push up to that point, and then you didn't know, and then another month, no, and then another month, no, and then a year, and then you, oh, God, I quit. I'm just never going to. And then we go, no, and man, you had hopes, and you have dreams, and I wish you could talk to Hannah one day, ask Hannah if she was discouraged. Sometimes broken relationships. David had nobody but Jonathan, and that relationship didn't carry through. It's hard to overcome broken relationships. There is a reality of discouragement. I want you to know something and mark it down, and you can write it down in your memory. There are no superhero Christians. There's one superhero, and his name is Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen. You say, Pastor, are you a superhero? No. Here we find David in dark days. But I do believe you can trace a road for David's discouragement. You have the reality of that discouragement. Number two is the road to that discouragement. Really, David built his own road here. And sometimes we build our own roads. I would like just to flip with you through the latter part of 1 Samuel. Let me give you a little bit of how David got to this point. Here's David in the 15th chapter. The kingdom is rent from Saul. Saul sinned against God, and Saul was no longer going to allow to be king. And God took the kingdom and gave it to David. In chapter number 16, he anoints David. And chapter number 17, God begins to show his might and his power toward David, and he kills Goliath. And chapter number 18, you find that David and Jonathan become friends. And you find now that Saul becomes tremendously jealous over David, and there's an envy that's building there. There's a demonicness that's coming in there. Saul gives David his daughter to marry, not because he loved David, but because he wanted to snare him and that the Philistines would be able to kill him. Chapter number 19, Saul tries to kill David. In chapter number 20, Jonathan helps David to escape. And you know the story. In chapter number 20, David is on the run. He's on the run from a king. I mean, you think about these guys that are on the run in our society today. You can run, but you cannot hide. And you find in chapter 21, he's going to anybody he can to get help. And he goes to Ahimelech and he gets help from all of these priests. And in chapter 22, Saul comes and he kills anybody that helps David. And David feels the guilt of that. And David feels the pressure of that. And again, in chapter 23, Saul is on David's heels and he's running him like a dog would run a deer or a dog would run an animal. And he's nipping and he's nipping and he's nipping and he's nipping. And David is running and running and spending nights behind rocks and in caves. Chapter 24, David has an opportunity to kill Saul, and David shows mercy to Saul and thinks that it would help to ease the relationship, and it does not. Saul's right on his heels, ready to kill him again. In chapter number 25, David's mentor dies. You have the death of Samuel, and David now is left all alone. Chapter number 26, David comes against Saul, and he spares him again. And at the end of chapter number 26, Saul leads him to think that he's going to repent, but he's not. And the pressure's getting to him, And fatigue and frustration and failure are all leading up to David. And you come to verse 1 of chapter number 27, if you'd read it with me, here's where most of us make a fatal decision, and the road to discouragement is yielded on this one point in verse number 1 of chapter 27. The Bible says, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. David is exhausted. He is exhausted. By the way, let me say something to you. Do not think that physical exhaustion does not lead to discouragement. So I'm your preacher. You let me help you with a couple of thoughts. Absolutely. Dad, mom, 7 days a week in work, working all the time, is not healthy. It's not proper. Pastor, anytime somebody says, I only need 4 hours of sleep and I can go, I think there's a man pretty soon that's going to be in my office discouraged. You need sleep. God built you that way. To ignore it is to be foolish. David is run like a dog, and an animal is like being chased by the dog, that animal. And he is exhausted physically, and it comes to the point where he just finally throws up his hands and says, I quit. Saul's going to kill me. I'm so tired. I'm going to the Philistines. And so he makes a decision to go into the world. He makes a decision not to ask God, not to wait upon the Lord, but he makes a decision because he is exhausted. Then he's frustrated. Never make a decision in your frustration. And then he sees failure, and that brings him to fear. And in 1 Samuel 27, verse number 1, he says, I'm going down into the Philistines. Now let me tell you what happens down in the Philistines. They hated his God. They hated his people. He's down there hiding where he never should have been. And he's down there and he's killing the enemies of Israel. He's killing man, woman, and child and everything. But he's caught. You cannot play and honor God and try to honor the world. And he's trying to please both sides. And pretty soon the Philistines are going to go to war with Israel. And Achish says, David, you come with me. And now David is in a position down there where he's got to line up with the world to fight God. He's going to line up with the Philistines to kill his own brethren. And he goes to the battle, and God in his mercy and his providence allows the Philistine leaders to say, we don't want you with us. And they send him home. And here he is. His whole world is spinning. It's about to come all in on him. He's almost ready to kill his own brethren. And they send him home. And 3 days he walks home. And when he gets to that third day, he looks in Ziklag. He says, is that smoke, boys? I think that's smoke. I think we're in big trouble. And he goes down there, and no family's there. And the Bible says in verse number 4, they wept until they had no power to weep. There's a reality of discouragement, but there's a road to discouragement. Fatigue, frustration, failure, and fear lead you to make a decision that places you outside of God's will. And when you're placed outside of God's will and you know the Lord, mark it down, my friend, you're headed for dark days and discouraging times. And that's where David is. We find David at those places. And you find him at that point. But in verse number 6, when everybody is insane with distress, and everybody is insane with depression, and everybody is insane with discouragement, the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I want you to see the refuge from discouragement. First off, look at the responsibility. David encouraged himself. There will come a time when it will be your responsibility to encourage yourself in the Lord. Well, preacher let me down. Well, my wife let me down. My job let me down. Well, this happened and this happened. And, you know, it's all those. And so, God, here I am. But if you can't do any better than this, God, I'm just going to sit over here and wait for you. That's a point of discouragement. That's a point of out of the will of God and out of powerless. It behooves every man, woman, and child who knows the Lord to be able to strengthen themselves. And in the place of insanity, David finds sanity in the Lord. How does he find this refuge? Well, look at the first thing he does. He accesses the presence of God. Look at verse number 7. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. This was how they could know what God's will was. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord. What did David do? David said, we are a mess. We are a mess. I am going to find refuge in the presence of God. I want you to know something. There is no discouragement, no depression, no delusion, and nothing wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen. Here he is in that hard time, and he gets into the presence of God. And in the presence of God, the psalmist said, thy presence is fullness of joy. And in the very presence of God, David is lifted and he is strengthened and he is encouraged. You read Psalm 73 this afternoon. You read about Asaph. Asaph at the point of quitting. Asaph at the point of demise. Asaph about ready to turn his back on everything until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord and then understood I want you to know, if you're on the brink of discouragement or depression or delusion today, I know a place. The songwriter said, I know a fount, I know a place where there's nothing wrong, and it is in the presence, in the person of Jesus Christ. I hope to God we know how to get there. Most of us find at those dark hours that we fall back on society or friends or our own imagination, but God said that he would never leave me nor what, church? Forsake me. Pastor, how do I get in the presence of God? You get in the presence of God when you come in the secretness of your closet. You fall on your face before God. David was wrong. David inquired of the Lord. And David came back and he said, in this moment and with you, there's sanity. There's nothing wrong with you. God, my wife, my children, God, protect them. God, I can't see them, but protect them, God. And the Bible says it strengthened him in the presence of God. Not only did he access the presence of God, but look what he did in verse 8. He ascertained the plan of God. He said, Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, that's God answered him and said, pursue. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. I want you to know something. The refuge from discouragement is accessing the presence of God, but it's ascertaining and understanding the plan of God for our lives. Now I ask you, church, what is the plan of God for my life? The ultimate plan of God for my life is to glorify him. And God's people said, amen. It's not to be the pastor of this church. It's not to work in any shop. It's not to have money. It's not to live in a home. It's not to be debt free. Man, we get so hung up on being debt free. It's not to be two cars and all of this. The ultimate plan of my life is to bring glory to God. And David found out the plan of God. And he went to God and he got in his presence. He said, God, what do you want from my life? And God gave it to him. And I want you to know something. If the plan of God is in the jungles of Africa, if it's in the violence of Turkey, or if it's in the madhouse of South Florida, there's no place like being in the will of God. David didn't know what to do. God, I'm down here. I don't even know which way to go. Give me some order. And God said, here's my plan. Go get them. There's nothing like a man who's lost. He gets in the Word of God and finds God's plan for his life. It enables them. Not only did he access God's presence and ascertain the plan of God, but look what he did to the promise of God. He affirmed the promise of God. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them, God? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them. And without fail, recover all. My God, David got the promise of God. And when he affirmed the promise of God, David said, that's enough for me. I have. You say, Pastor, it was easy for David because God gave him clear instruction. If I could go to God and God could give me the promise that everything was going to work out okay and that all my bills were going to be made and my family was going to be okay and this was the right decision, well, of course I would follow God. Understand this. David had no written word of God other than the law. Understand this. He didn't have the whole Bible. We have the whole Bible. Understand this. You have and I have the direction of God right here. Right here's the promise of God. You say, well, Pastor, is it going to be true? Listen to what Abraham said. All those years, God promised him a son, and his body was getting old, and Sarah's getting older, and he's thinking, it's not going to work. So Sarah says, here, take Hagar and go in and have a child with her. And God, the mess we're in today because of that decision. But listen to what the Bible said in Romans about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I ask you this question. Do you believe God that he can accomplish what God says he's going? If so, say amen. You see, why do we get discouraged? Why do we get depressed? Because we don't think God's going to do what God said he's going to do. And we get delusional. And so we think it's not going to work for me. David said, oh God, I'm just going to die. I'm going down here to the Philistines. And but what did God promise David? God promised David something. God promised David that he would be a what? A king. Was David a king at this time? Nope. Did God promise him to be a king? Yes. If David was dead, could David be a king? Come on, answer. Yes or no? No. So David was going to be a king. God was going to establish him here. Then what right did David have to say, I'm going to die by the hand of Saul? No, you're not, David. Why? Because I said it. Well, church, listen. Pastor, we're drowning. No, we're not. Pastor, I'm in deep trouble. No, I'm not. Pastor, if I go that way, I won't make it out. My friend, if it's said in this book, you can go that way. It's the promise of God. You'll make it out. You'll make it out. You'll make it through the dark day. The refuge from discouragement is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Now watch the release and we're finished. Look at verse number 9 of 1 Samuel chapter number 30. After David gets the instruction. Now remember, David is at the point of exhaustion. David can't even function physically. He can't even weep. And in verse number 9, the Bible says, so David went. What do you mean he went? So David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. Well, who are these people that were left behind? Well, watch verse 10. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook. What happened here? What happened? David understood the refuge from discouragement in the presence of God, the plan of God, and the promise of God. And it did exactly what Isaiah in chapter 40, verse number 31, said that it would do. Let me show you what Isaiah said it would do here. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Pastor, I'm so tired. Well, renew your strength. Pastor, I'm exhausted. Well, wait upon the Lord. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. Pastor, I'm so low. Well, be risen. They shall run. Pastor, I can't hardly go forward. They'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not be faint. Here's David to the point of exhaustion, but he gets the power and the promise of God, and it strengthens him, and immediately he goes forward. He's released from his discouragement, and he's going forward to serve the Lord. I'm reminded of what Paul said. Paul said, I forget those things which are behind, and I press forward to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means there must be a release from our discouragement, and the release from our discouragement comes with the understanding of the refuge of our discouragement, with the reality of that. And so as I come now into the presence of God, and as I come and understand the plan of God for my life, and I submit to the promise of God, then I don't sit over here and think, well, that's just all Bible talk, and that's just all for the preacher. No, I get encouraged by that, and I go forward to do what God called me to do. And so David goes forward, and when 200 men don't even have the strength to do it, but he does. He goes forward, trusting God's providence. Verses 11 to 14, you see how God begins to providentially bring people into David's path so he could find the enemy. God, how many times do we go forward trusting God's providence? Pastor, why did this happen? I don't know. Pastor, it's too hard. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you love the Lord? Yes, sir. Well, I find in Romans 8, 28, all things work together for what, class? Good. Pastor, this is very difficult in my life. This is very difficult in my life. Well, I find that he said every good and perfect gift cometh from what? Above. Trusting in the providence of God to go forward, David does. Verse 23, he's grasping God's grace. Discouragement, now get this here, if you're having a hard time, to focus on discouragement is to turn my back on grace. To be depressed is not to be lifted in grace. He said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and I will do what? Exalt you in due time. So if I yield myself to finality of what life has to offer, then I forget what Paul said. I am what I am by the grace of God. Now watch how grace plays in your physiological makeup. Internally, my grace is sufficient for thee. my strength is made perfect in weakness. Pastor, I'm so weak and I'm so tired. Internally then, let the grace of God lift you. What about eternally? Well, Pastor, is it good enough for future? Listen to what Paul wrote. He said that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For all eternity, I'll be lifted by the grace of God. Well, what about physically, Pastor? Well, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, what about spiritually, Pastor? Oh, he giveth more grace unto the humble. Well, what about my mind, Pastor? What about mentally? Well, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You say, what are you trying to do? I'm telling you that the songwriter knew what it was when he said, amazing grace. And the same grace that saves me is the same grace that keeps me. And I live in the light of that marvelous grace of God. And the enemy wants us to shift our focus from that, shift our focus on our abilities, on our plight, on our problems, on our plans, and to refrain from allowing the grace of God to do what God wants it to do in my life. And so David, totally void of any grace until verse 23, where he finds it, and God's restored it to him after he'd been in God's presence, after he knew God's plan and submitted to God's promises. You also find that they're spoiled. David goes and he kills them all. You say, well, they didn't kill his people. Why'd he kill them? Because God told him to kill them. Saul should have killed all the Amalekites when he had the chance, but he didn't do it. David went and killed every one of them. God gives him his whole family back. He gives him everything. And in verses 26 to verse 31, David begins to send the spoil out to everybody. What's a spoil? It's the reward. It's the riches. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, I would say it this way. Any man who knows the Lord Jesus Christ is a joint heir with him, God's people said. What does that mean? You see, most of God's people think there's no reward to the Christian life. If we're not careful, we think, yeah, Pastor, I'm saved, and I know I'm going to go to heaven, but life's just so hard on me right now. And there's no forward thought. There's no eternal thought. There's no thought of spoil. David took all that wealth and he started handing it out. Well, what's the wealth of heaven? Oh, the wealth of heaven is my children can come to know the Lord. Amen. That'd be a great wealth. The wealth of heaven is the peace of God. The Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth nor rust nor thief breaks through to steal. You see, there's great spoil and there's great joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. But most of us, we get so heavily burdened down, we step outside the presence of God and we don't understand the plan of God and we don't understand the promise of God and we're fatigued and we're frustrated and we're fearful. And so then we try to save ourselves and we get over here to the dark days and there's just no hope. There's no hope. There's no hope. My friend, there is nothing but hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a marvelous God. The release from discouragement is an understanding of who God is, what I have in him, and what he is to me. And David said, it released me to go forward. Songwriter put it this way. He said, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. And God's people said, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. Wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a Redeemer is mine. When clothed in his brightness transported I rise to meet him in the clouds of the skies. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and he covers me in his hand. Question for you today, church. Do you feel covered and do you feel lifted? Or are your days dark and your long nights dreary? And you're to the point where you have wept, where you can't weep anymore. There's no future, Pastor. All I am is I am stuck right here in the present with the weight of the past all over my shoulders. But oh God, there's a purpose to accomplish. What happened to David? He saved his household. What will depression do to us, church? Here's what it'll do to us. Now watch. Here's what discouragement does to us, and we're done. It keeps us in the present. It slits our visionary throat. It takes our mind off of all that God wants to accomplish and puts all of it on our situation right here. And we get imprisoned in a 6x6 cell that Satan has set up, and we can't get out of these walls. And so here we are in the dark days, and here we are paralyzed. And our wives need to be saved. Our children need to be saved. Our neighbors need this, the plan of God. There is a reality of discouragement, but the road to discouragement, there's a refuge in God. And praise God, there's a release to serve the King of Kings. Amen. Pastor, I came today with a heavy heart. Pastor, I came today dark days, discouraged and depressed. Not know what it is to be stuck in the present, have no vision for the future. I know what it is to weep. Pastor, my heart's heavy. I don't want you to embarrass me, Pastor, but I need prayer today. And I'm not going to ask you to walk the aisle. I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand. Pastor, I'm having a hard time, but God encouraged me today. And I do want to be encouraged. And I do want to encourage myself in the Lord. Here's my hand, Pastor. Pray for me. Just slip it up and slip it down and let me see. Sure. Pastor, pray for me. Sure. Make sure I see it. Sure, God bless you. There's still time. Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, God bless you. Here's our prayer. I'm going to pause a moment and let you pray. The prayer is, begin with the presence of God. Acknowledge he's the Lord. Ask him to reveal his plan and submit to his promises. And then be released from that to serve him. Take a moment and ask him if you would. God, thank you for meeting with God's people today. There's nothing greater in all the world than serving you. God, I pray that you take our little church, continue to use us for your glory. God, may we know how to encourage ourselves now in the Lord. God, when those dark days come, may they just be days that draw us closer to you with great victory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.